It's my pleasure to welcome to the KPFA studios Mr. John Cage, who's in Berkeley to perform with the Merce Cunningham Dance Company, and he's very kindly consented to come to the KPFA studios and read some material for us, which we don't have on tape recording. John, what do you have?
Well, I have the two parts of the diary, How to Improve the World. You will only make matters worse that I understand you don't have in your library.
The first and the fifth, that's right.
Right. How was it that you didn't get the first up at Davis?
It was a sort of a chance operation on the part of our engineers. We went to Davis with tape recorders, pulled them out, and we realized we had no electronics. Mm-hmm. We just had the transports. They don't work without the electronics. So we didn't get the first. We got the second, third, and fourth that day.
Well, what do you want me to do? Just jump into it?
Yes.
Would you like maybe talk about when it was first written? Or
that would be a good thing, yeah.
You've been writing this now for a number of years.
Yes, it's fortunately the piece is dated. It says 1965, so we know that that's when it began. I was invited to Hawaii, the university there, for an East-West Festival of Music and Art.
Was that the year Lou Harrison was there too?
No, they have one composer from the United States and one from Japan.
I see.
And an artist from each place. And the year I was there, Takemitsu was there. And I lived not in Honolulu, but in Kaneohe, which is on the other side of the island. And the mountain range between Honolulu and Kaneohe is tunneled. And I noticed at the top crenellations of the mountain. And I asked people what those were for. And they said, well, formerly the tribes on either side of the island were at war. And they used those crenellations to protect themselves while they were shooting down poisoned arrows on their neighbors. And about the same time, someone in our State Department gave a talk, which I didn't hear, at the university. And it was reported in the newspaper that, whether we like it or not, the world is becoming a one place. And that this is due to services being shared by people of different nationalities. So these ideas settled in my head and didn't produce anything at first, and then I recollected that Buckminster Fuller had pointed out with his map of the world that we are living actually not on several continents, as I had been taught in school, but on a single island, which begins, say, the foot of South America, goes through North America, out to Asia, back to Australia, and on to Europe and Africa and Greenland, so that it's one body of land, which, if Fuller's ideas about relating human needs and world resources come about, can become the place of a network which supply the needs that are now divided, actually, between those who have and those who don't have. It could be supplied to everyone. Well, with that, with those experiences and that idea in mind, I began this text, How to Improve the World, and the parenthetical remark, you will only make matters worse, comes from Kuang Tzu, the Chinese philosopher. The story goes that chaos was rambling about, slapping his buttocks and hopping like a bird. And one of the winds came to find out from him how to improve matters, because obviously the world was going wrong. And chaos paid no attention, but as in so many stories, the third time he was asked, he replied. And he said, oh, you want to improve matters. He said, you will end simply by making them worse. So shall I read it?
You might mention the reason that it was published the first time, because our listeners are familiar with that person.
Oh, what is the reason?
The reason was to do with the magazine.
Oh, yes. It was an invitation from Clark Coolidge, who at the time had a magazine in Rhode Island called Jugglers. He sent me a copy of his magazine when he asked me to write something for it, and I noticed that he printed from typescripts, and so I decided to use an IBM Selectric typewriter and to submit the text once it was written to Chance Operations with regard to typography. And then I made the typescript myself with such a typewriter. In A Year from Monday, of course, it's printed, but following the same plan. Enough? Okay. Continue. I'll discover where you sweat, Kierkegaard. We are getting rid of ownership, substituting use. Beginning with ideas, which ones can we take? Which ones can we give? Disappearance of power politics. Non-measurement. Japanese, he said, we also hear with our feet. I quoted Busoni. Standing between musician and music is notation. Before, I'd given the history, chance operations, indeterminacy. I'd cited the musics of India, notation of them's after the fact. I'd spoken of direct musical action, since it's ears, not interposing eyes. 2 a.m., Jensen said, even if you didn't like the results, Lindsay, etc., we hope you like the telling of it. Telling of it. We were there while it was happening. Minimum ethic. Do what you said you'd do. Impossible? Telephone. No answer? My idea was that if they wanted to fight human nature and all that, they should do it in the Antarctic, rest of us gambling on daily outcome, proceeds for world welfare. Instead, they're cooperative down there, exchanging data, being friendly. April 64, U.S. State Department man gave Honolulu talk, Global Village, whether we like it or not, cited 55 services which are global in extent. Mountain range dividing Wahoo, formerly crenellated, crenellations for self-protection while shooting arrows, is now tunneled, permitting population circulation. Wars, etc., part of dying political economic structures. Social work equals increasing number of global services. As McLuhan says, everything happens at once. Image is no longer stream falling over rocks, getting from original to final place. It's, as Tenney explained, a vibrating complex. Any addition or subtraction of components, regardless of apparent positions in the total system, producing alteration, a different music. Fuller, as long as one human being is hungry, the entire human race is hungry. City planning's obsolete. What's needed is global planning, so Earth may stop stepping like octopus on its own feet. Buckminster Fuller uses his head, comprehensive design science, inventory of world resources. Conversion. The mind turns around, no longer facing in its direction. Utopia, self-knowledge. Some will make it with or without LSD. The others pray for acts of God, crises, power failures, no water to drink. We see symmetrically, canoe on northern Canadian lake, stars in midnight sky repeated in water. Forested shores precisely mirrored. Our hearings asymmetrical. noticed sounds surprise us, transform our voices, straight line of sound from us to shores, followed by echoes slithering around the lake's perimeter. When I said 55 global services, California Bell telephone man replied, September 65. It's now 61. The seasons, creation, preservation, destruction, quiescence. This was experience and resultant idea. No longer is. He flies to Rio. What shall we wear as we travel about? A summer suit, with or without long underwear? What about Stein's idea? People are the way their land and air is. When I said that culture was changing from Renaissance to what it is now, McLuhan, Johns objected to what he said was an oversimplification. But Johns was speaking according to our non-Renaissance experience, total field, non-focused multiplicity. We are we not, socially speaking, in a situation of the old dying and the new coming into being. For the old, paying bills, seeking for power, take the attitude of play, games. For the new, doing what isn't necessary, moving sand from one part of the beach to another, Buckminster Fuller, take the religious attitude, celebration. It celebrates. The people have left. The cat and kittens were taken to the SPCA. The house is full of fleas. They say totally determined music and indeterminate music sound the same. I visited Hamada. Getting up from the wheel, he said, I'm not interested in results, just going on. Art's in process of coming into its own life. The lake is undefined. The land around rests upon it, obscuring its shape, shape that needs to remain unrevealed. Sung, floating world. Rain, curtain of windswept lake surface beyond. Second view, there are others, he tells me, one with mists rising. Yesterday it was stillness and reflections, groups of bubbles. An American garden. Water, not sand. Vegetation, not stones. Thunder. Without intending to, I'm going from lake to lake. Salt air, salt lake. Hugh Nibley. I hadn't seen him since high school days. I asked him what he thought about other planets and sentient populations. Yes, he said, throughout the universe. It's Mormon doctrine. We'd said goodbye. I opened the door of the car, picked up my attaché case, and everything in it fell out on the grass and the gutter. His comment, something memorable always happens. Things we were going to do are now being done by others. They were, it seems, not in our minds to do. Were we or they out of our minds? But simply ready to enter any open mind. Any mind disturbed enough not to have an idea in it. The daily warmth we experience, my father said, is not transmitted by sun to earth, but is what earth does in response to sun. Measurements, he said, measuring means. Basho, Matsutake ya, Shiranu Konohano, Hebaritsuku.
the leaf of some unknown tree sticking on the mushroom, blithe. Mushroom does not know that leaf is sticking on it. Takemitsu. Project. Discover way to translate Far Eastern texts so Western men can read orientally. Communication. Bakarashi. Words without syntax. Each word polymorphic. He wanted me to agree that the piano tuner and the piano maker have nothing to do with it, the composition. The younger ones had said, whoever makes the stretcher isn't separate from the painting. It doesn't stop there either. Looking in all directions, not just one direction. Housing, Fuller, will be, like telephoning, a service. Only circumstance to stop your living there. Someone's there already. It's busy. Thus we'll learn to desire emptiness. Not being able to say, this is mine, we'll want when we inquire to get no response at all. 4 p.m. throughout the world. Whether we like it or not, is what he said, it's happening to us. Advertisements are all good. The news is all bad. McLuhan. But how we receive bad news can change. We're glad to hear unemployment's increasing. Soon, all that will be required of us will be 1 hour's work per year. Fuller. They ask what the purpose of art is. Is that how things are? Say there were 1,000 artists and one purpose. Would one artist be having it and all the 999 others be missing the point? Arcata Bottom Sign said, experiment endlessly and keep humble. Write to Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions. They'll know about the global services. I did. They answered they knew nothing. Suggested writing to State Department. Books one formerly needed were hard to locate. Now they're all out in paperback. Society's changing. Relevant information's hard to come by. Soon it'll be everywhere, unnoticed. Electronics. Day comes, the day we die. There's less and less to do. Circumstances do it for us. Earth. Old reasons for doing things no longer exist. Sleep whenever. Your work goes on being done. You and it no longer have a means of separation. We had the chance to do it individually. Now we must do it together, globally. War will not be group conflict. It'll be murder, pure and simple, individually conceived. Curiosity, awareness. They return to the fact we all need to eat to explain their devotion to money rather than music. When I spoke of the equation, work equals money equals virtue, they interrupted me. They didn't let me say that nowadays there's no equation, saying, how can you speak of money and virtue in the same breath? Where there doesn't seem to be any space, no, we no longer know what space is. Have faith space is there, giving one the chance to renovate his way of recognizing it, no matter the means, psychic, somatic, or other means involving extensions of either. People still ask for definitions, but it's quite clear now that nothing can be defined, let alone art, its purpose, etc. We're not even sure of carrots, whether they're what we think they are, how poisonous they are, who grew them, and under what circumstances. She was indignant when I suggested the use of an aphrodisiac. Why? Naturally, she considers TV a waste of time. The purpose of one activity is no longer separate from the purpose of any other activity. All activities fuse in one purpose, which is, compare Huang Po doctrine of universal mind, no purpose. Imitate the Ganges sands, becoming indifferent to perfume, indifferent to filth. Influence, where does it come from? Responsibility? Sick ones now are heart sick. Narcissi, they became entranced with emotions, purposes, mystified by living in the 20th century. We've invented something else, not the wheel. We extended nervous systems. McLuhan, Aiken Bite of Outwit, Location Spring 63. The inability of people to be inactive. As Satie said, if I don't smoke, someone else will in my place. Audience participation, active passivity. Since the spirit's omnipresent, there's a difference in things, but no difference in spirit. McLuhan was able to say the medium is the message because he started from no concern with content. Or choose quantity, not quality. We get quality willy-nilly. That is, we'd like to stay alive. The changes that are taking place are so many and so interesting. Composition will have, he said, less and less to do with what happens. Things happen more quickly. One of the signs you'll get that'll tell you things are going well is that you and everyone else you know will be inhabiting lightweight Dymaxian houses, disengaged from ownership and from violated earth spot. Reed Fuller. Smiling, she said, let the old ones walk out. There's not much to be done about them in any case. Distractions, interruptions, welcome them. They give you the chance to know whether you're disciplined. That way you needn't bother about sitting cross-legged in the lotus position. Phonetics. He was a physicist and a computer composer in his spare time. Why was he so stupid? Because he was of the opinion that the only thing that will engage the intellect is the measurement of relations between things. When told that his mind could change, his response was, how? Why? Conflict won't be between people and people, but between people and things. In this conflict, let's try to arrange matters so the outcome, as in philosophy, will never be decisive. Treat redwoods, for instance, as entities that have at least a chance to win. He wanders through markets as though they were forests, and he, an exploring botanist, throws nothing away. Lake. Take what you're working on with you, if, that is, you have something to do. Gaps. What a pity that she should feel obliged to take matters in her own hands. There's practically no kitchen, he says, and it's already been figured out that money's being saved. Mexico. Europeans are still up against it. They seem to require a center of interest. They understand tragedy, but life itself and any art that's like it puzzles them, seems unsatisfactory. We're starved for entertainment, thanking the two women. By becoming angry, I simply altered my biochemistry, bringing about a 2-hour recovery. Meanwhile, circumstances continued characterized by habit. Going in different directions, we get, instead of separation, a sense of space. Music is discourse. Jazz doesn't work. If you're going to have a discussion, have it and use words. Dialogue is another matter. Acts and facts. Straw that breaks the camel's back. They're saying no. They advertise, they'll say yes. Principles? Then all's intolerable. No principles. which doesn't mean we fail to become furious. So we swim, drowning now and then. I must write and tell him about beauty, the urgency to avoid it. Hearing of past actions, politics, economics, people soon won't be able to imagine how such things could have happened. Fusing politics with economics prepared disappearance of both, still invisible. Arriving, realizing we never departed. He mentioned heads on the ceiling. Seeing them noticed him too. Fusion of credit card with passport. Means of making one's voice heard. Refusal to honor credit card. End of the month. That too may be changed. The measurement of time, what season it is, whether it's night or day. In any case, no bills, just added information. Take it easy, but take it. What'll we do before lunch? Wing it. Wanting list of current global services. How'll I get it? Long, costly correspondences? Pentagon advises telephoning. I'll write to the President of the United States, to the Secretary of State of the United States. Time passing, I'll ask those I encounter whether they've any information. McLuhan hadn't any. I'll write to Fuller. Should have done that in the first place. Pope Paul, Lindsay, take note. Amateur used to say, don't touch it. Now speaks of audience participation. Feels something, anything is needed, would help. Develop panopticity of mind. Listen. What'll happen when intelligence is recognized as a global resource? Fuller. Political organizations giving up involvement with play, partners, opponents, involvement with unattainable goals, victories, truths, freedoms, will simply fade out of the picture. Image coming up is that of the utilities, gas, electricity, telephones, unquestionable, emotionally unarousing. What is the drawing? No one knows any longer. Something that doesn't require that you wait while you're making it for it to dry. Something on paper? Museum director said, Toby Schwitters, it's a question of emphasis. Thanksgiving. Art. Transportation plan, eventually at no monetary cost. Conveyances recognized for what they are, extensions of each human being and his luggage. Short distances, costly. To taxi for one block is a luxury. Long trips, cheap as dirt, crossing continents, oceans. Effect of video phone on travel. That we'll stay home, settling like gods for impressions we'll give of being everywhere at once. Everywhere where economics and politics obtain, everywhere, policy is dog-eat-dog. Take taxi tolls between cities, those in one town higher than those in the other. Driver going from one to the other must drive home alone. Relaxation of rules, ties, take marriage, is indicated. Now that we've got the four-lane roads, we won't have any use for them. Good for roller skating, he said. Refuse value judgments. Since time lags were inordinately long, change is now welcome. Advertising's discredited itself. When they advertise something, we avoid it. There's nothing we really need to do that isn't dangerous. Eighth Street artists knew this years ago, constantly spoke of risk. But what's meant by risk? Lose something? Property? Life? Principles? The way to lose our principles is to examine them, to give them an airing. Heaven's no longer paved with gold, changes in church architecture. Heaven's a motel. She changed part of the loft, wall-to-wall carpeting, mobile TV. No conflicts. 22 telephone calls were made by Betty Zeiger, disrupting efficiency of federal agencies dedicated to pursuit of peace. State Department said Hawaii's speaker was a woman. 55, now 61 global services are in area of humanities, beyond mere provision of food, shelter, not technological services. State Department, Global Village developed from literary villages, a plan for the betterment of life in India. We are packages of leaking water. The next water you drink may be your own. Let's call it the collective consciousness. We've got the collective unconscious. The question is, what are the things everyone needs, regardless of likes and dislikes? Beginning of answer: water, food, shelter, clothing, electricity, audiovisual communication, transportation. Form of answer: global utilities network. Do not fear that as the globe gets utility organized, your daily life will not remain or become, as the case may be, disorganized, characterized by chaos, illuminated anarchically. You'll have nothing to do. So what will you do? A lifelong university? Fuller? In the lobby, after Lamont Young's music stopped, Geltzahler said, "It's like being in a womb. Now that I'm out, I want to get back in." I felt differently, and so did Jasper Johns. We were relieved to be released. Knowing, seeing, conforming with reality. Anscombe's a feminist, insists on wearing pants. Obliged to lecture dressed in a dress, she took one with her, changed into it, lectured, changed back, walked home, teaching all the time, in pants. As was said, when will you undress yourself of your ideas? No escape. Billy Kluver said decision of judge in South America, for example, is taken as precedent by judge in Sweden. Brown's work, Life Against Death, is prophetic. Also de Kooning's remark, we no longer have tragedy. The situation an individual may be in is only pathetic. Society as a mass is what needs psychoanalysis. Thus, polymorphous perversity, necessity of utopia. Looking at billions, unlike Nehru, we must treat them as one person. She says life is like a blank wall, impassable. Correct deduction, she is in love. Kluver, ITU lists many international agreements, Ray Morse code, telegrams, telephones, radio, television, emergency signals, meteorological information, frequencies and powers of stations, means to prevent static. How would it be if these agreements didn't exist? ITU asks. No press news, no pictures in the papers, no exchanged radio programs, no static-free radio reception, no meteorological prognoses, no storm warnings, no security at sea, in air. Kluver reports, ITU, International Telecommunication Union, was established in 1865, 9 years older than UPU, Post, and 17 older than railroad agreements. The truth is that everything causes everything else. We do not speak, therefore, of one thing causing another. There are no secrets. It's just we thought they said dead when they said bread. Or that we weren't tuned in when transmission took place. Being told about global services, Barnett Newman emphasized the importance of the arts. Society has tape recorders, radio broadcasts, and also copyright laws, which it considers extending, gets in its own way. Get rid of copyright. This text is copyright. We're making non-specialist interpenetrations. Automation. Alteration of global society through electronics so that world will go round by means of united intelligence rather than by means of divisive intelligence, politics, economics. Say this idea has no basis in fact, but arose through brushing of misinformation. No sweat. It arose. The idea exists. Is fact. Do not imagine there aren't many things to do. We need, for instance, an utterly wireless technology. Just as fuller domes, dome within dome, translucent, plants between, will give impression of living in no home at all, outdoors. So all technology must move toward way things were before man began changing them. Identification with nature in her manner of operation. Complete mystery. Fuller prophecy at end of Tompkins' profile of him, editorially, New Yorker, eliminated. Subject, global network for electrical power, including China, who'd participate in a spirit of practicality. Fuller's remarks considered laughable in view of November blackout. We need another blackout, one that isn't so pleasant. One that'll suggest using our heads the way Fuller uses his. We've poisoned our food, polluted our air and water, killed birds and cattle, eliminated forests, impoverished, eroded the earth. We're unselfish, skillful. We include in our acts to perform. We've had a rehearsal. The last one. What would you call it? Nirvana? Not only was instant universal voice communication forecast by David Sarnoff, but also instant television, instant newspapers, instant magazines, and instant visual telephone service. The development of such global communication system would link people everywhere. For reorientation toward a one-world concept of mass communications in an era marked by the emergence of a universal language, a universal culture, and a universal common market. Population. Arts obscured the difference between art and life. Now let life obscure the difference between life and art. Fuller's life is art, comprehensive design science, inventory of world resources. If enough mined copper exists, reuse it, don't mine more. Same with ideas. World needs arranging. It'll be like living a painting by Johns. Stars and stripes will be utilities. Our daily lives, the brushstrokes. McLuhan, works obsolete. Why? Works partial involvement in activity. Activity is now necessarily total involvement. Compare work of artists, work not involved in profit. Why total involvement? Electronics. Why everything at once? The way we things are. Yatta bhutam. Where there's a history of organization, art, introduce disorder. Where there's a history of disorganization, world society, introduce order. These directives are no more opposed to one another than mountains opposed to spring weather. How can you believe this when you believe that? How can I not? Long life.
We've heard the first of six completed diaries. How to Improve the World, You Will Only Make Matters Worse, read for us by John Cage, who is our guest at KPFA today. It's kind of a lot to take in. It's so rich, you know.
Well, you can miss here and there, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought, but now I find that I'm looking something up because I know I missed it, and I want to be sure. It was at the very end.
What it was?
Yes. So I think perhaps, no, you can't miss it a little bit here and there.
The people in the studio with us are Gerard Vanderlyn from Oregon Magazine, Richard Friedman, and Charles Scheer. That was Charles Scheer.
We should do station ID, I think. This is KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, and we're live tonight on Open Hour. We'll also be extending Open Hour to go from 9 to 10 as well tonight. And while we have this short break, you're going to continue, aren't you, reading part 5 later?
We're going to do part 5 right now.
Yeah.
The World Ear Project was scheduled from 9 to 10, but since you had such a big hand in everybody's awarenesses of ambient sounds, John, we're just going to go right through and leave that off. But what we've been doing is collecting tape recordings of sounds from all over the world. One of the nicest ones we got was a tape recording from Bali of a cockfight. And a number of unusual things have come in, including a rainstorm from Crete. I guess it's about the same as a rainstorm here, but the concept of it being from Crete made it something
these
special.
These tapes are all things that, from environments, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are sending us tapes from all over the world. We have a program each month of just collecting these tapes and broadcasting.
I'm very happy about that development in the use of our ears.
I've been wondering, when you came on to ambient sounds as a thing that you were sensitive to, was that through your experiences with Oriental philosophy, or was it through some combination of things?
Well, it was actually through, I suppose I was, one has to assume that I was interested in sounds to begin with, but then when I went into that anechoic chamber at Harvard University, which I actually expected to be silent, because I take things quite naively and simply, and I thought that there was such a thing as silence, and that I simply hadn't been in it, that somewhere it existed, so that I was curious, really, when I went into the anechoic chamber to hear what silence was. And when I got in there, I heard these two sounds, and so I thought there was something wrong with the room. And I went out to inform the engineer that there was this fault with the room because there were the two sounds in it. And he said, well, describe the sounds, and I did. And one was the high one was my nervous system in operation, he said, and the low one was my blood circulating. And that then meant that, to me, that silence is simply a change of mind. And if we are silent, so to speak, it means that we're accepting the sounds that we don't intend, because I don't even intend that my nervous system make a sound.
That was that was before 7 minutes and 33 seconds.
Right.
4 minutes.
Yeah. 4 minutes. When we played it, it was 7.
Okay.
Well, since it was made through chance operations, it could be any other length.
There were a lot of people, though, that had listened to ambient sounds and were aware of them. I mean, composers had included bird sounds and so forth, but I think the difference in your experience and what it means for others is that you appreciated these as experiences that could be called music or could be called art or part of something other than just, well, I don't know. It's hard to say, but...
Well, I've been reading Thoreau a good deal in the last years. His journal, and he also had this view that the ambient sounds can be, in terms of their beauty, can be very embarrassing, say, to Vienna. That's the way he put it.
You've got this thing about Germanic music. What is it exactly? Could you talk about that?
Well, I studied with Schoenberg, but I find in my own enjoyment of European music that I run more to France than to Germany, and particularly to the work of Erik Satie. Vienna is a curious difference. It's almost as though, in some cases, it was a combination of Germany and France. What do you think of that idea in the case of Mozart? But the city could produce, on the one hand, Schoenberg, and on the other, Hauer, at the same moment, with the same idea of the 12 tones, and produce, in the one case, something so heavy with consciousness of tradition, and in the other case, something quite as new as Satie, really, the music of Hauer. Do you ever play it here on the
Hauer?
Mm-hmm.
It's hardly available anywhere. No, we haven't had much.
Oh, well, what you ought to do is get two pianists, just one piano, for he's written so much forehand music. And it's surprisingly beautiful and surprisingly strange.
Hmm. We'll have to look into that
one. One of Merce Cunningham's choreographies was to several of the forehand pieces of Hauer that David Tudor and I played. It was a piece called Labyrinthine Dances. In Hauer's music is the characteristic of not moving toward climaxes. And the...
Is that intentional, though?
Yes.
It is?
It's the
in a Wagnerian sense? Or?
No, the music has a marvelous equalness.
It's not simply the postponement of climaxes, a neurotic
sort of
thing.
It becomes something that you can experience, whether you pay attention or not.
Whether you choose to or not?
Yes, because the chances are that you will, in the course of its being performed, come to it at some point. And when you do come to it, you come to what it is.
Much in the way that silence operates.
Mm. Or say the Vexations of Satie. That piece that lasts so long.
Mm-hmm. What about the present Germans, Stockhausen, for instance?
Well, he continues to interest me. That is to say, if I hear that there is a program involving his music of his, which I haven't heard, I would certainly go to it.
Have you heard the things by the group Stockhausen, the recent performance pieces?
I heard one piece in New York not so many months ago, the Hymnen, which I confess I didn't enjoy except at moments.
That piece seems to have been a sort of watershed. The Stockhausen before then seemed to be more Germanic, more end-oriented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Stockhausen since then seems to be more process-oriented, well, less Germanic to my way of thinking.
My feeling about him is that he could very well do something surprising. And so I would be interested.
One of the things that has always seemed to me to differentiate what I think of as Germanic art from, well, Gallic art, let's say, has been that Germanic art, and specifically 19th century Germanic music, is very much concerned with itself and very much resents other things obtruding. You said in Silence someplace, you were talking about a good modern painting is not disturbed by a shadow falling across it. This is true of Satie, but it's not, to my mind, true of Beethoven or Wagner or Brahms. And this is something that's concerned with the way people feel about things and the way they relate to things. The same thing happens with Duchamp when he is relating to the things around him,
I
his relationship with ready-mades and
birthday,
so forth.
Today is his birthday, is that true? Mm-hmm.
Today or yesterday, nobody seems to know.
Maybe every day.
Possible. But you said something in this diary about things. You said that it's possible we should even think of redwood trees as having the capacity to
have a chance at winning.
Yeah.
Yes.
If not to overcome completely.
They have more patience.
How do we combine what seems to me to be a proper attitude toward things, namely the reverence that we owe them, just as we owe ourselves? How do we combine that on the one hand with the increasingly technologically oriented sort of society we've got to have in order just to stay abreast of things?
Well, first of all, we must arrange our technology that it doesn't ruin the environment. There needs to be a meeting between technology and its uses and the regard for the environment. And I think it's essential. I don't think we have any hope to avoid technology.
You mentioned electricity as a requirement.
Yes.
One of the basic requirements.
Yes. I think with Fuller that that one of the important things to do now is to use above Earth energy sources rather than, as we have been doing, fossilized fuels. That will aid greatly in question of air and pollution.
It's still true that man has created technology, and it's not nearly to the point where technology is recreating itself and running over man. It's the economic dependence that...
There are, you know, theoretically other sources of energy other than electricity derived from fossil fuels or from falling water or things like that. There are nuclear means. There are two primary energy forces that no one even yet understands, really outside of the fact that they exist.
What about
which
the
no one has ever tapped.
What about the idea of restraining ourselves from using energies except when we really want them?
This is really the question in front of us today. I feel that the whole trend of technological development in Western civilization especially has been that if man can do something technological, if he has the ability to do something, he has always gone ahead and done it. He has built dams. He has dropped bombs. If he can theoretically do it and make the mechanism, he has done it. And this is one of the reasons the SST is perhaps, you know, a turning point, because that is the first time that there has been the capability, the tools, the energy, the knowledge, the economic investment, the whole load. And it did not happen.
No, that can't be the criterion for doing things.
So there's Duchamp again, smiling at this and pointing out that renunciation. Duchamp and Rossini.
Rossini.
Yeah, he was
technology
too.
is still very young. I mean, everything that's happened, this whole world around us, this radio station, the cars in the street, there are people alive now that were born into a world that had no automobiles, no electric bulbs.
I grew up
no
with
penicillin, you know. There are things that we can do, but what has to be done is you have to guide the morality and the consciousness of the people that do these.
But now you say you have to guide the morality of the people and their consciousness, and I must confess that there's always been something in me that's resisted your writings, because I've always felt somewhere a little touch of this concept, wanting to guide. Now, you know, I certainly recognize the need for people to learn things, and sometimes the need for people to be taught by people other than themselves. But how can we control this so that it doesn't become, well, at its very worst, fascistic, so that it doesn't become totalitarian?
No, we only learn, I'm sure, when we teach ourselves.
But what can we do with those people who refuse to teach themselves?
Well, they're very apt to do it if we let them. I think much of society is arranged in such a way that they don't even get that notion, that they have that to do or could do it.
But is that as it should be?
No, I think people should be free to do their own learning.
Perhaps what being said is that instead of being a dictator, an aesthetic or political or economic dictator, one functions just as an indicator, saying there is this place which you can go to and these things which you can do. And you might find that you will do a lot better if you do these, but I'm not going to push you there. But you know, this is your alternative.
Do you feel this has been Fuller's role? An indicator,
Fuller,
a signpost?
The Whole Earth Catalog, which is based largely on Fuller, is a prime example of of an indicator working at a very high capacity. The Whole Earth Catalog has helped a lot of people, not necessarily restricted to cultural roots or education or whatever. I mean, and this is what Fuller does too. He says you can do this. This is capable. No one had ever
seen. He provides it as an option.
But it's an option which, if it
were
realized,
which he doesn't force upon people.
I mean, it's just words in a book. It doesn't. It's not a gun at the head.
I was present when he was asked, "How are you going to bring your ideas into practice?" And he said, "I make them so that they are available when they are wanted."
Couldn't the same have been said of the people who developed atomic power? They were simply developing the possibility, and it was up to someone else, namely, I guess, the Manhattan Project, to realize it and put it to some use.
I suppose so, except I think in the example you give there is so much of power and profit involved.
It did load the argument a little bit.
Yes. I think Fuller's option is available precisely when we give up those concerns, and when we have, as he has, the desire to make the world work for everyone rather than just some.
You're saying that it has a failsafe in that the only society that could possibly develop it would already be a society which was enlightened enough not to put it to erroneous uses.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a feedback system involved there. The more that some segments of the population become enlightened, the more that a certain element of technology advances, which enables a larger segment. You know, it may be organic. It may not have to be predicated on one or the other existing. In fact, I would think it wouldn't, knowing how things usually occur, which are very indeterminate. But there's a whole raft of things that can be done with. I mean, the people that discovered atomic energy, they're still, like I say, the atom holds two forces, which are two of the four energy forces that people understand or know about in the universe, which is the strong force and the weak force, very simply named. And we have no idea how to control them or tap them. But there's a large multi-billion-dollar research project about a mile from the studio called the Lawrence Radiation Laboratory, which is primarily devoted to understanding exactly those things. They move very slowly at trying to figure that out. But if you could figure that out, I mean, if you could figure out how to abstract the energy out of a glass of water without, you know, destroying 5 miles of city, I mean, you'd have unlimited energy. You know? And unlimited energy means unlimited.
It just does seem to me that the person who learns and develops the techniques and concepts that are required to deal with those things, with the forces of energy that are contained in a glass of water, partly just through his basic nature anyhow, and partly, and I think even more, because he simply doesn't have time to, can't develop what I would consider a proper set of values so that he can use that information in a tolerable fashion.
Einstein possessed them. Einstein was a very enlightened man.
Yeah,
Einstein was a very...
Citing Einstein is like citing Mozart. I mean, that's hardly
that's
fair.
True,
but
well, no, I mean, if... I mean,
and yet
Einstein, a genius though he was still only a man.
Yes,
I mean,
and he was the most humble
about it of all.
And unable certainly to control the uses.
Couldn't control the political uses. He couldn't control the psychosis of power. No one knows how to control the psychosis of power. But the psychosis of power is not technology. It's a disease that occurs in the soul. I mean, if some man thinks he can do, you know, a large magnitude of good, and knows enough about mankind to see that it could also do a lot of evil, do you not do it on that chance?
This is a terribly difficult question. I tend to think yes, he does not do it.
When Einstein was told about the Manhattan Project, he went and played his violin for 2 weeks. He didn't speak to anyone because he knew immediately what the implications of it were and where it was going. He was not fooled.